Hello and welcome to Green, all things environmental here at World Radio Switzerland. The green economy. Can businesses that run on ethical and environmental principles compete and make money for their owners? One group that is betting that the answer is yes is Reinvest Partners, a Geneva-based investment fund that is raising money and plans to spend big on managing forests around the world. Mark Hempel, CEO of Reinvest, came into the studios recently and I asked him what the company has in mind.
So our aim is, and we have already that in the pipeline, it's already selected, is to buy existing land and plantations, which we will then manage with our forestry team. These plantations and the land exist in primarily, well, in Scotland, Panama, where obviously the species grow that we've selected very well. Uruguay, Brazil, and Australia, and then now also part of Africa, which has become very important.
And the plantations are existing plantations, or will they be?
Some of them will be completely barren land that we will start planting on, and some will be existing plantations.
Will you be clearing any native forest to make way for plantations?
No. What we actually do is that, for example, in Panama, 20% of the land must remain as is for biodiversity. That's very important, and that's also very important for us, because if we can't do it sustainably, well, then there isn't any business either.
So your plan is to follow the existing legislation within the countries that you operate?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important. We work very closely with, for example, in Panama, ANAM, which is the legislation there, to make sure that what we do is done in a sustainable, both environmentally and socially. So even in one of the plantations which we already have in Panama, we, for example, we help build a small school. We help build a bridge.
Well, countries allow all sorts of forestry practices, some that may be harmful to the environment. Are you going to employ a higher standard? Do you have a global standard of practice for all the forests that you'll be managing?
Well, there is the standards of the FSC, which, first of all, means that all the forestry that we do has to be sustainable and certified. So that is a global standard is very important. Now, in order to do that, why it's very important is simply because the timber afterwards cannot be imported, or won't be able to be imported later on in most European countries if it is not FSC certified, the Forestry Stewardship Council.
Do we have just your word for that? How do we know that you and your forest will be complying with
certification? Certification, which means we have independent parties coming out and looking at the way we work, and then when that is done, then the FSC then gives us the certification, which is then sent through to with the timber when it's sold.
On the face of it, a win-win prospect. Certainly, if the proposal is to be believed, investors will do well. Healthy returns on a product for which demand can only increase in a market that is independent of the normal business cycle. But is it as simple as all that? I went along to put the idea before Scott Poynton of Swiss-based The Forest Trust, a group that has been working on environmental and ethical issues in global forestry for more than a decade. I asked him if there was a place for the type of business Reinvest has in mind for the planet's forests.
I think there is. I think it's more complex than it's made out to be. We do need more trees planted. There's been a hell of a lot of trees cut down over the years. There's a lot of bare land out there. But the concept of bare land is a tricky one. And in the interview, you guys mentioned the concept of bare land. We'll only use land that's got no trees on it. But it's very interesting that a lot of that land is bare for a reason, and that's because someone's using it. And these are often the poorest of the poor, the indigenous people, the local communities. And to them, it's not bare land. That land has value. And the concept of just following the laws and going in and saying, yes, I'll buy that piece of land because it's bare and planting trees on it, it's a compelling story. It's a good story, and that's how you need to work. But you need to look deeper. And by looking deeper, I mean, go and find out who's using that land at the moment, because they may not have legal title to the land, but they may have customary title to that land, which means they've been using it for generations. Someone may have come in, cut all the trees down against their customary rights that made that land bare, and they may have already been disenfranchised. But nonetheless, the land that looks bare to us because it hasn't got trees on it maybe providing grass for their buffalo or for their cattle, or they might have some medicinal plants growing out in there. So it's a complex story. You need to look more deeply behind how that land's being used.
And so following the letter of the law doesn't necessarily safeguard you against that kind of issue?
No, because in a lot of countries, particularly in the tropics, customary law is not recognised, and yet customary law is the law by which the most poor people in the world tend to get access to land.
Scott Poynton of the Forest Trust, bringing to a close this week's report. For Green, I'm Pete Foster.